Done this before, but I did it at Christmas Eve service and I liked it, so I'm going to do it again. I get a picture of your smiling faces. I get to see you from up here all the time, but I don't have a picture of you, so wait a minute. Now, this is Wisconsin, so you must say cheese. One, two, three, cheese. All right. Now, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time, for the opportunity once again to open the Word of God. What a blessing that has been. And I'm so grateful for hearts that respond and ears that listen, minds that engage. And so, Lord, help us to do that again today. Speak to us through your Word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The gift of faith. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 to 11. I actually picked this text because I've been trying to memorize verse 2 and 3. Notice, trying. I'm still working on it. It is amazing how much harder it is to memorize these days than it used to be. But I wanted to unpack that blessing. It's one of the ones I've worked on memorizing to be able to use as a benediction at the end of our services, and I have sort of muddled my way through it, but I wanted to go in and unpack it and say, how can I bless you in this last sermon? And it's one that has spoken to me, and so I wanted to look at that and the context around it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11, page 853, if you want to follow along in a chair Bible. I'd like you to look at it, though, and it'll be on the screen as well. 2 Peter is way to the back of your Bible. If you hit Revelation, you're going too far. Turn left for just a little bit, and you'll find a little book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these gifts, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to your goodness, knowledge, and to your knowledge, self-control, and to your self-control, perseverance, and to your perseverance, godliness, and to your godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. So what's a pastor's job? What am I supposed to be doing during these years? One of the things that a pastor is to do is encourage you to live by faith. It's not the only thing, but it certainly is a big part, to live by faith. So what is faith? Hebrews 11 describes it. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So my job has been to help you see what is unseen. Is that clear? I thought that was pretty good, you guys. Come on. So we're going to talk about the gift of faith, the use of faith, and the result of faith. When we look and see the idea of the gift and the use, we find an incredible and delightful result of that gift and that use. And we're going to see those in this text. So let's look first at the gift of faith. Peter makes something crystal clear here, that faith is given. We need to catch that. He's stressing it over and again, and we're going to see that, but we need to grab a hold of that. Faith is given. It's not something you have to muster up. It's not something you've got to just try to convince yourself of. It is something that is given, and we don't want to forget that. He's really pressing that into us. Faith, Christian faith, though, is the use then, the belief that we are made righteous through Christ. That's what the gift of faith is. It isn't just some willy-nilly idea of having faith in a generic sense, but it is a faith that says, I am right with God. That He has made me now righteous. Now, we've just come from a season of gift giving. Can you give a gift that you don't have? You can't do it, can you? You have to give what you already possess, what you have. Notice what verse 1 says. Through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, we have received faith. By His righteousness, we have received something, and it is faith, but that faith is that we are made righteous. He gives it to us. And Peter's desire is for us to know that. Notice verse 2 says, that grace and peace would be yours, the result of righteousness, the result of your faith, that you would know that you are forgiven of your sins. That's what grace is really talking about there. You don't have to any longer hold the penalty and the shame and the guilt of your sin. Now you have peace with God, and you can have faith in that, that we are made righteous through Him. That's what God gives us. And so we have received it. And then Peter's desire is for us to know also this sense of this in abundance, he says. Grace and peace, not just a little bit, not just once in a while, but to know it in abundance. How can we know that? Well, verse 3 answers. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. It turns us right back when we start struggling with this idea. Do I have enough faith? The issue isn't whether you have enough. The issue is, are you focusing on the provider of faith? That He is sufficient. That He has everything that you need for a godly life. And verse 4 continues along the same lines. Through these He has, notice, given. Through these He has given us very great and precious promises. So that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by the evil desires. Now, this idea of participate in the divine nature sounds almost like, do we have some mind meld going on or something? What is that really about? Well, the gift is this great exchange that takes place. And that's what Peter is alluding to. He is saying, you know, I'm a sinner. And because I'm a sinner, I owe a penalty. But that penalty, because of my sin, is placed on Christ. That's what He gets from me, is my sin. But He is righteous. And He takes His righteousness and He puts it on me. That is an exchange. My sin on Him, His righteousness on me, and it is given to me. That's what this participation in the divine nature is. His righteousness is now my righteousness. When God looks at me, He sees Christ. He doesn't see my sin. He doesn't see me. He sees Christ's righteousness. I have His nature now living in me. But it's more than just the exchange. It's also an indwelling presence. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? God promises that when you accept Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you, so that there's a power within and a voice within, and we need to learn to listen to that voice. You are a body. If you are in Christ, the Holy Spirit lives within you. Analogy here. You are a body, corporately, the church is, and there is placed within you a voice, and that voice is your pastor. And the pastor is to be a voice that speaks to you and tells you to listen to the voice. And I'm so grateful that for these years, I've been able to be that voice. And I hope within this body, I have spoken to you to say, listen, listen, listen to God. Most of you have listened well to me. And I hope in that listening, you've learned to listen to the Spirit of God. He places a pastor within the corporate body to help the corporate body and the individual person listen to the voice of that new nature and that new indwelling presence, the Spirit of God. God certainly was gracious to me in giving me the gift of being able to pastor you these years. And the best thank you can give is to listen to the voice. Listen to the Spirit. Be bold in following Him. Which leads us right into our second point. The use of faith. Faith is not something that we are given just for the purpose of being able to sit back and enjoy it, but it is to be put into use. I think James sums this up most succinctly. Faith without works is dead. That's pretty direct. If you have faith, it will be seen that is what takes place. So we don't earn the gift, but that gift given to us transforms. And faith is a transforming event in our lives. Verses 5 to 7 speak to this idea. For this very reason, because, in other words, because God has done this, because He's given you the gift, because He's indwelled you with His presence, because of that then, you are to do such great things with this great gift. Make every effort. I want you to say those three words with me. And we're going to put a different emphasis. First, we're going to emphasize the first word. And then we're going to emphasize the second word. And then we're going to emphasize the third word. You ready? Make every effort. Make every effort. Make every effort. Are you? Are you going with a laissez-faire approach to this thing of following Jesus? Are you just sort of sliding along on the strength of the others who are leading and working here in the church? Are you making every effort? And how do we do that? We add to our faith goodness. We add to our goodness knowledge. We add to our knowledge self-control. We add to our self-control perseverance. We add to our perseverance godliness. We add to our godliness mutual affections. It's Philadelphia. The brotherly love, the city of brotherly love. And then we add to that brotherly love, love, agape love, others-focused love. You see, if we have a gift, you might be asking, wait a minute, Gary. Go back to point one. You said we are just given this faith and we really don't have to do anything, but now you're telling us we have to put all this energy and pull all this effort in this. If it's a gift, why do we have to put forth such effort and such work? And that's a great question, and look at how verse 8 answers it. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin. Are you catching what he's saying? That if you have received faith and you know this, but you're not putting into engagement and actually doing it, when life kind of hits you, you will doubt whether that really happened. If you were here and it happened and it was amazing, your transformation at that initial time, but you're not putting forth the effort, then you will run into the train wrecks that happen in life and you'll look back and say, maybe it wasn't real, maybe it wasn't true. And he's saying, you engage, you make every effort, you put on these things, and it will confirm that over and over and over again, and it will continue and help you to persevere. That's complicated, I get it. And so I want to help you by appealing to an important theologian. His name is Peter Parker. Yep, Spider-Man. So Peter Parker, this incredible nerdy high schooler, he gets bit by a genetically redesigned super spider. Here it is.
That's great.
Hey, Wait. Thanks.
Little teeny bite. But what happens? Look at what that bite of that little super spider ends up doing. Look at how he behaves now, having discovered his powers. Somehow this was supposed to have been cut shorter, so we're going to click it in a second. Hey, it did. It worked. So here's the question. What if Peter Parker got bit by the super spider and he didn't change? And nerdy high schooler Peter Parker, you know, in the story, grows up and becomes an accountant. Sorry, accountants. I'm picking on you. And he sits in his little cubicle and he crunches a lot of numbers. Are you going to go to that movie? You are not going to go to that movie. Unless there's an internal transformation that results in external magnificence, there is no superhero story. Unless there is internal transformation that results in external magnificence, there is no superhero story. We've just come through a whole Advent season of telling you that there is one story. It is the story. And the superhero that all the superhero stories point to are the person of Christ. And unless there is internal transformation that results in external magnificence, the superhero is not seen. And God wants to do in you magnificence. Not just a little bit, but incredible righteousness and good works that result in him being seen. Faith is demonstrated, or it is not faith. The internal transformation has results of a transformed life, and it is seen in learning. Do you notice how it says that we learn the Bible? We understand our knowledge. In other words, we really study the Bible, and we learn to love the Bible by studying the Bible. You won't just love it right out. You've got to learn it and you'll love it. It's shown by loving others. It's shown by others-focused living. It's shown by sacrificial giving. Not just a little bit of sacrificial giving, but a lot of sacrificial giving. Using our money radically different than we did before we came to faith in Christ. Because without an external result, the internal transformation won't be confirmed. It won't be solidified. That's the use of faith. It's a gift. But we're to make every effort to use it and to engage it. And with what result? Now we get to the really fun part. The result of faith. Notice this. I mean, think about it. Don't you wish that there really would be this like bite that would happen when we accept Jesus and we always do everything right from then on? I mean, wouldn't that be nice? Like, I accepted Jesus and now it's perfection. I don't ever make a mistake even. I just live a sinless, wonderful life. You in? Like, I'd like to do that, you know, and also, not only that it would go that way for me, but that life would go that way. It would just be, everything would be great, but that's not the way life works, is it? No, in a fallen world, that's not realistic. So, what is the result of faith? Notice verse 10. Therefore. Now, when you see the word therefore, you look and see what it's there for. It is, since you have been given this faith, live a transformed life, make every effort to conform and confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Whoa, wait a minute. Did you catch that? You most of the time won't stumble. Is that what it says? No, what does it say? Are you serious? Did Peter really think that? Right up until the day they crucified him. That was the story. He knew the superhero. And other apostles spoke it and they lived it. For me to live is Christ. To die is gain, Paul said. Right up until the day they, however they executed him, they lived by faith and they knew that it was real. Therefore, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. I am so saddened by people who take Jesus with this laissez-faire approach. And then when things don't go well in life, that's just life. It happens. It gets rough. And when it doesn't, then they blame God. Why didn't God take care of this? Why didn't this or why didn't that? Well, it's a fallen world. And if you want to never stumble, don't expect for life to go well all the time. Of course not. It is a fallen world, and I will fall. That's not what my faith is in. My faith is in the finished work of Christ. And when I pour myself into that, then I will never stumble. Say it with me. I will never stumble. That is the faith that we're offered. And it doesn't just end there. Verse 11 goes on, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Receive the gift of faith, in other words, use and exercise your faith, and we will see each other again. We will be welcomed and welcome one another into the eternal kingdom. And frankly, I hope I get to go first and welcome you. I'm looking forward to getting out of here and to being able to die first, and then I get to go and be with Jesus, and I'll give you a big hug and welcome when you get there. But what is the result? Today. What is the result? It's this. This is not goodbye today. It's see you later. If you are in Christ, if you are living by faith, it's see you later. And we get to be there. No more goodbyes. No more pain. No more suffering. No more heartache. This one's amazing. No more death. That's faith. That's what we look forward to. That's what we have preached. That is what we have delivered. The result of faith is an assurance that one day, no more pain, no more sorrows. The gift and use of faith really will produce lasting results beyond this life, beyond anything you can imagine. Today, if you've not received that gift, you need to do it today. Please don't let me tell you this over and over and over again and not respond, because I want you to welcome me there and I want to welcome you there. And if you haven't trusted Christ, today's your day. Today's your day. Give your life over to Christ. And if you have, let's remember, persevere. There will be no greater joy for me to know that you're doing way better 2 or 3 years from now than I could have ever possibly led you to be. Make every effort in your faith. And know, one day, it's hello forever. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these indescribable gifts. And I'm so thankful for having been able to describe them some over these years and to encourage people to follow them as they have encouraged me to follow them as well. What a mutually edifying, God-glorifying, loving situation we've been able to enjoy. And now as I pass the baton, God help them to make it a joy for Pastor Pete to lead them as well. Thank you for the leaders here who have so diligently served, the exampled people who have worked so hard on so many of these things we've talked about today, who have loved your people, your church. They have loved you. God, I pray your blessing on them. And thank you for the gift of faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.